We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out a bad seat, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad honors, bad taste, bad lie, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Appalachia, right across the river through the woods from where Granny told me to get her some of that fresh Satchel Paige, a watermelon mimosa Tahoe Hydro 22.6%, so that she could enjoy herself in the rehab center in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh. People dress in plastic bags, you're ready to drive in some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do it. All my friends that come around, flats and party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this tides are tattered, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Farrell with Mafia tonight. Toll free the number to get on the bench, 844-843-6879. Mafia, first of all, I got to ask you right out of the gates. I'm surprised that I'm watching the one championships on TNT. I turned it on, and I mean, they come right out of the chute with Alvarez and Lapicus, the fight. And I mean, like, you told me there's only two fights. You mean to tell me this whole broadcast is about two fights, this one and the Demetrius Johnson fight, and then the broadcast's over?
Pretty much. I think they had one more earlier that you could have watched on, like, the app, the third fight of the main card. But I think it's only like a six-fight card. It's a very short card, and they're getting right to it, right to the meat and bones, not dragging out with a bunch of people you never heard of before and, you know, losing the audience. I said, let's get right to the names you know and put them on TV.
Okay, so wait, like, oh, he just won the fight. I don't know what they called time. I don't know what's going on here. They're, like, taking points away from Alvarez. He just killed this guy. He was beating the crap out of him. The fight was over, and the ref called time out. I don't even know what I just saw. It was so embarrassing. So let me ask you, all right, I got to get this straight. You're telling me that this card is going to have two fights on it, and then it's the broadcast going to end?
Yes.
What the Farrell? I'm going to watch two fights. One of them's about to end. He beat the crap out of him 10 seconds into the fight. Alvarez was sculling this guy. He's on top of him, cranking him. And then the ref called timeout. I have no idea what just happened. Something illegal. I don't even know. Is there anything illegal when, I mean, you're ground and pound? I mean, what is this about? I don't see. I've watched 5 million fights with you. I've gone to a million fights with you. And I didn't know there were so many rules and such when you get down on the ground. Like, I don't get it. What? Why did this guy stop this fight? Are you watching this?
Yeah, I'm looking to see. I mean, he hammer fists him. I'm looking to see what happens. Like, maybe the last hammer fist, if the ref thought it was a 12-6 elbow, but that doesn't even seem possible. It was a hammer fist. I don't know what – I don't have the sound on to know what they're talking right about, but it seems like there's no way that that should have been stopped for any reason unless you're stopping the fight.
Okay, so, yeah, I don't understand at all, because there was nothing illegal there at all. It was absolutely unbelievable. And then they've given this guy all this time to – recover. It's something to do with his ear. Like, since when do your ears get special treatment? He keeps saying he did something to his ear. Alvarez keeps pointing to his ear, and they've stopped the fight, and they've given this guy all the time in the world to recover. And now, like, he's like, I don't understand it. I'm sitting here watching. I am so confused. And this guy that he's fighting is down on the mat, and he's absolutely acting like he's dead. They should just end the fight. I mean, what are they doing? It's embarrassing. We welcome in our radio affiliates to Farrell on the Bench, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map Radio Network, Sports Byline Radio Network. Mavi is with me tonight. I'm trying to figure this out. Like, can we keep Eddie's pants on? Would that be all right? Could he, like, stop pulling his pants down? You think, you know, he's about an inch away from just going full package here. Like, you know, can you stop with the pulling the pants down? I don't understand what they're talking about. Now they're up in the broadcast booth trying to explain what happened. Oh, so I think he's calling him for hitting him in the back of the head. He's saying Alvarez hit him in the back of the head. I saw that on Twitter
with your boy Ariel Helwani, but he didn't. Everything was on top of the guy. The guy's head was his back of his head was to the mat. And he's pounding him with his fist straight down. How is that back of the head?
Yeah, that's absolute BS. He did not hit him in the back of the head, unless I missed something. And now he gives him a red card. What does that mean? Is that a
maybe
point?
A point deduction? I'll have to look up. I don't know if the rules are different for one. I've never seen a red card given in the cage. I've seen them deduct points and things like that, but I've never seen an actual red card.
What is this, soccer? I mean, like, what is happening here? This is embarrassing. I just want to see some violence. Do I have to see all these rules and such? I don't believe in rules. When we started living like freaky beatniks, I'm looking at it right now. I never saw an actual, I guess that was it right there, back of the head. He's saying he's hitting him in the back of the head. I thought he was hitting him in the ear, and this guy's crying like he got hit in the back of the head. What a terrible ref.
Look, we're not saying all the other sports talk networks are backwards, but we're pretty sure they all have a favorite Yeehaw episode.
Get on the grid.
Yeehaw. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so this broadcast is so embarrassing, this one broadcast. First of all, they're interviewing Eddie Alvarez right now, and he can't hear a single word they're saying to him. They're having technical difficulties. So the play-by-play guy upstairs is interviewing Alvarez, you know, outside the cage, and he can't hear a word he's saying. He's just staring, and there's absolutely nothing he can do about it. And they can't even get that right. Let me tell you what they did. They disqualified Eddie Alvarez for punching a guy in the back of the head. And so they got two fights on the card. The first fight's over in 30 seconds with a disqualification of the guy that everybody came to see. Everybody came to see Eddie Alvarez and Demetrius Johnson fight. The reason it's on TNT is to watch Eddie Alvarez and Demetrius Johnson fight. And then you've got a ref that disqualifies the guy that everybody came to watch because he claims he threw all these illegal punches to the back of the guy's head. Listen, I got to be honest with you. I saw him hit him in the back of the head, and I don't think it was intentional. I did see it. I do not think it was intentional at all. I thought it was just violence. He was down on the ground. He was punching him, and he hit him in the back of the head because the guy turned his head, and then they disqualified him. And they stopped the fight. And I thought they called timeout. Then they gave him a red card, which is disqualification. You're done. And I thought it was like a joke, like soccer or something. I've never seen a red card in a MMA fight, but I guess one uses it. And now Eddie's trying to explain what happened, but the guy turned his head. You can see him punching him in the back of the head. I mean, he hit him in the back of the head like 5-6 times. So the guy turned his head. He punched him like 5 times in the back of the head. But I don't think he felt ever once that he was hitting him in the back of the head illegally. And I don't know if he doesn't know the rules or whatever, but I cannot believe, Mafia, that they just canceled the fight, the co-main event. I mean, like, how do you, like, first of all, no one's ever heard of the other guy, right? He's a complete no-name, at least in this country. And we all know who Eddie Alvarez is. And we, you know, that's what we wanted to see. I turned it on because I want to see Eddie Alvarez and Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson fight. And what do I get in return? I get the worst broadcast I've ever seen in my life, the worst play-by-play guy, and Rich Franklin terrible with him. And then the guy down at ringside's even worse. It was so embarrassing. I even told you before the show started, I said, I don't know what's going on, but this may be the worst broadcast I've ever listened to in my life. And then the fight starts, and 30 seconds later, they disqualify him. I mean, who's running this network or this fight, promotion? that, like, you got to, I think, tell your ref, you can't screw this up and call this fight, you know, even before he goes in there, you cannot call this fight, in the first round. Let it go. Let's go. Let's fight. Instead, the entire fight's canceled not even 30 seconds into it. I mean, it really is, Mafia, you have to admit, completely and totally embarrassing.
That is an utter embarrassment. That was completely mishandled overall, all around. Like, he hit him in the back head twice. He did. And as he's doing it, you could see him. The guy's turning his head as he's throwing the punches. It's like when the receiver goes and puts his head down, and that's why he gets hit in the head, and they say, well, no, it's your fault. You did that. Like, that's what it should have been. This guy's turning his head in order to give the back of the head. So, okay, maybe you're saying, he's trying to protect himself, whatever. That's a tactic. If you want to go that way, okay. Those five punches, two of them landed on the back of the head, and it's the ref's fault they did, because after the first one, you see Eddie talking to him and saying something to the ref, and the ref doesn't step in. The ref doesn't step in until the guy drops back and Eddie gives him with a hammer fist. So you think the fight's over that way. The ref should have stepped in after the first one to the back of the head or warned him after that one. Then again, after the second one, stepped in, stopped it, stood him up and warned him. And if you want to take a point, okay. But to wait till the guy, is then flat on the back getting hammer fisted and then claim that's the reason he's getting hammer fisted because he had those two little rabbit punches to the back of the head, that's BS. That guy was acting his ass off. And then the ref, should have taken a point away, not deducted, disqualified him, ended the whole fight. If the guy can't fight after that, it's a no contest. Don't make it a disqualification, a loss for this guy, because you didn't do your damn job right.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you that he should have stopped the fight, given him a warning, taken a point away, and then started the fight again. I cannot believe that I just waited all day to watch that fight, and I remembered to turn it on as I'm watching the Nets winning by 30, and I'm like, this game sucks. I'm going to watch one. I turn it on, and the fight hadn't even started yet, and I told you... Did I not tell you? I go, I don't know what's going on here, but this may be the worst broadcast I've ever seen in my life. Like the guys doing the call. It was so uncomfortable. Like, you could turn it on right now and turn the volume on. You'll see how bad it is. And it was really bad. And it was like amateur hour. And then, like, they went down to the guy at the ringside, and he was standing with the one championship belt with some guy from Singapore from one. And he said, this is the most beautiful belt in the world, and you're going to award it tonight to someone. And then the guy said, I can't wait. It is a thing of beauty, isn't it? And then they went back upstairs. That was the interview. It was so bad. It was so bad and embarrassing and laughable. I even said it to you. Did I not say to you? I go, I think I just saw the worst broadcast I've ever seen in my life. And then a minute later, they start the fight, and the fight's over in 30 seconds. With a bad ref and a bad call and a bad decision to disqualify him instead of giving him a warning and starting a fight again. If I paid to see that fight, I'd be throwing beers in the ring. I'll tell you that much. I'd be throwing beers. I did not pay all this money to come to this event and to see that. I'll tell you that much. What a terrible job by one and the ref. How pathetic was that ref? Calling that fight and stopping that fight instantly. I just can't even believe what I just saw. That was so bad. I don't even know if I want to watch. I'm serious. I don't even know if I want to watch the next fight. How are they going to screw that up? Seriously, like I thought, tell me if I'm wrong. I thought this one promotion was supposed to be so badass. Like, I heard that it was just so violent and badass. And what I just saw was the most laughable joke of a production I've ever seen in my life, and the worst fight call I've ever seen, and the worst ref I've ever seen, ever. And I've been watching for, 12 years, 15 years of this stuff, maybe longer, and I've never seen anything that bad. What I just saw was the worst thing I've ever seen, and I blame one for all of it. I don't even care who runs it. I don't care if Turner's in on it. I don't care who's in it. That was the worst thing I've ever seen. Mafia, you can't even deny it.
No, that is an absolute joke. Your first major U.S. TV, appearance here, and that's how you ended right out the gates. That's just pathetic. You put these guys on there. If it was something terrible, something atrocious, then all right, you disqualify them, you have to. But I think that was just too easy for them to call that really quick. That's just ridiculous. I mean, the guy should have been able to fight. It was just two little rabbit punches. I've seen guys get kicked straight in the crotch that come back 5 minutes later. I've seen guys with, you know, second head grown off their noggin in fights that want to keep going. Guys that can't see because they got poked in the eye so bad, like their eyes bleeding, and still they want to keep going. And this guy calls it after that. Get out of here. That's a joke.
It was so bad. I'm scared to death to see how they screw up the next one. There's only one fight left. Are they going to screw that up? I mean, honestly, Mafia, are they going to screw the next fight up?
Probably.
I mean, honestly, that was just so unbelievable. I can tell you that coming up, we're going to talk with Bruce Pasco of the Arizona Daily Star on the Sean Miller firing at Arizona down in Tucson. They finally fired Sean Miller. Not a good year for the Miller brothers. Archie Miller fired at Indiana, and now Sean Miller, who had a lot of success at Arizona, but embroiled in a massive scandal, finally gets the axe today at Arizona. And we'll talk to him about all of that and what happened and how it shook out and who's going to get the job after Miller's gone. Problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
All right, Pharrell on Events with the Mafia. Keep an eye on the terrible one on TNT fight. The Demetrius Johnson fight now getting ready to start for the flyweight world championship. With the call that I just saw, the terrible call, I mean, an atrocity, what I just saw with Eddie Alvarez being disqualified after beating the crap out of that guy. And they're saying that he hit him illegally in the back of the head when a guy turned his head and then played dead and then got that call. And they stopped the fight, disqualified the guy that everybody came to watch. We all came to watch the guy fight, and they disqualified him 30 seconds into the fight. This may be the worst broadcast I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it is truly embarrassing. So I guess, you know, I'm done with this outfit after tonight. I'll watch this fight and then I'm done with it because I thought it was the most hack thing I've ever seen. What a joke. Bruce Pasco is with the Arizona Daily Star. He joins us on the bench to talk about Sean Miller. How you doing, Bruce?
Good. Thanks for having me, Scott.
Hey, man. So I guess, you know, I said earlier before I went to the break that it's been a bad year for the Millers. I mean, Archie in Bloomington, and now Sean gets fired in Tucson. But I guess there's a lot of people that would suggest that it was inevitable that he was going to get fired with the scandal that's been going on there.
Yeah, that's kind of the feeling that, you know, it was more not a matter of why, but why now? Like, you know, there's been a number of times, you know, I mean, this federal investigation, we know, started in September 2017. There was more allegations that came out in 2018. There was a school investigation, then the two federal trials in 18 and 19, and then the NCAA investigation in 19, and the school allegedly hired its own firm to do an investigation. So there are many, many points where at any point they could have said, that's enough, we're moving on. And instead they waited until now, and, you know, they say, their AD, Dave Hickey, said today that they had continually evaluated, and this is when they decide to make the decision, but it does kind of make you wonder. It's a little bit odd, the timing.
Yeah, so were you caught off guard by, you know, today being the day they did it?
Well, there's been rumors all month since the season ended. It's just a matter of what day it was going to be, and they were kind of hot there for a couple weeks ago, and then yesterday, you know, there really was a lot of buzz going on. So not really. I mean, and you know, I've had a story ready to go on, you know, this possibility for literally, I've been updating it for 3 years now, and so finally it ran today. I just topped it with what happened. It was just, again, it seemed to be a matter of time. Although there was a possibility that that they were going to extend him, but it just seemed like the politics had made it difficult. And I don't know this, but I wonder if the Board of Regents, they didn't, you know, there was no indication that they were willing to sign off on an extension, and it just kept going and going to the point where he only had 1 year left on his contract next year, and you know, nobody can coach in the last year of their contract. It's pretty difficult. So it was just, they had to do something, and this is what they decided to do.
Bruce, take me back to when this all started with, you know, Book Richardson and the bribery and cash to get players to this Dawkins agent and his trial and everything. Can you catch everyone up nationally here on exactly kind of what went down?
Oh, man, I don't think we have enough time for all that. But, I mean, the bottom line is a lot of those things did carry over. No, well, not there was a lot of allegations that came out of the two federal trials. Because basically, yeah, at the very beginning of this, the FBI went out and they arrested four coaches right away. One of them was Book Richardson, an assistant who had been a long time with Miller here and at Xavier. Right. He later admitted to taking $20,000 in bribes, was jailed for it, went to prison for 3 years, and that did carry forward in one of the level one allegations. And basically, the NCAA empowered itself to import all of those federal things, federal evidence into their cases. So that went in there, and some other things as far as sort of improper inducements. However, what was interesting, there was a lot of back and forth in their talk about whether Miller was on a wiretap saying things. I mean, there was some talk about, they had some conversations that had been in that HBO movie a year ago that he was on discussing what appeared to be a battle for a recruit that involved, you know, whether or not they're going to take care of the handlers of this player, so to speak. And, you know, we all know right. what that's about. You know, and so there was that. That did not get in the NCAA thing, but what did was a couple of the hard and fast things with Book Richardson. And then, interestingly, on top of that, a couple of academic misconduct related things where there are two different instances, one working allegedly to change of to work with a recruit's transcript, and another to basically, make a guy eligible allegedly. And those are very serious, obviously, as well, and were the level one allegations. But none of this stuff has been proven in the NCAA court of law, so to speak, but there's a lot of stuff hanging out there. Five level one most serious, and one over Miller. Miller wasn't directly found to have paid anybody directly or anything like that, but he was given a level one for lack of control and not fostering compliance and was looking at being suspended if he wasn't fired.
I'm just sitting here, I gasp. I just blurted out. There's so many things that it sounds like they were running a chop shop. It's just unbelievable what was going on there. I have to say to you, I got to be honest. Like, I knew Sean when he played at Pitt, right? And that's how old I am. But listen, I have to say, like, am I imagining things? Because I thought he did a great job there. I thought the guy obviously was winning. He won a lot. They went to, several tournaments. I know he went to three or four Elite Eights. I know he's won Pac-12 titles, several. Right. So you're like, let me ask you, did they, like, this whole time he's been there, do you think he's been cheating?
Well, I mean, the indication, just looking at what the evidence has been out there, all that stuff, you never know what they weren't investigated in early in his tenure. He's been here since 2009, but I can't say the level of players that came in here really elevated in 2011, 12, 13, 14. Those classes were almost all top five recruiting classes. And at the time, and this may be the case, that they were building off, they made an Elite Eight appearance almost right away in his second year in 2011. They had Derek Williams starring on that team, and Derek Williams went number two in the draft. And as we all know, that's the kind of thing recruits want to sign on for. They want to go to the tournament, and then they want to be on that stage at the NBA draft. So they got some really good players. And, so I don't know if anything happened in those days. I do know that their recruiting elevated, and then you know, as the investigations pointed out, there was a you know, some allegations and evidence that, that things were maybe done, you know, in that gray area or maybe past that gray area in 2016, 2017, et cetera. And that's kind of where things went downhill with that. But what you speak of before is actually one of the reasons why this has dragged out so long is because he has been successful. And at the time when this first came out in 2017, both the president and the AD were new here. This came out about Book Richardson. At the very beginning, it seemed like Book Richardson did this, Book Richardson did that. Was he just operating on his own? What was going on? And at the same time, Miller was two years removed from his second straight Elite Eight. And he had a lot of, you know, sort of equity, so to speak. And so I think people wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt, and they waited and waited. And then it was just a matter of, well, at what point do you realize maybe you don't want to stick with him? And, you know, I think it was, again, it was a surprise to a lot of us that it became this long. But it did seem like the school was waiting until they could get a final resolution from the NCAA before they made a decision. But that kept dragging on so long that they, you know, with this contract winding down, they decided they had to do something, and that was it.
Any reaction from Sean Miller?
No, he doesn't, you know, he, no, but I mean, that's sort of his MO. He's not, you know, usually available. Yeah, you know, nobody can find him. He's not, yeah, I haven't seen any, and, you know, he changed his number since I had, I don't, you know, there's just, I mean, during the season, I can catch him at a press conference, but he's not the kind of, you know, he's not a guy that is typically available, and certainly with a situation like this, it doesn't seem that way.
Wow. So I just want to ask, do you have any more time available to ask you a few more questions if I take a break and then come back, or do you have to run?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I mean, I'm off deadline at this point. It's been going since, you know, 8 a.m.
Okay, so I have, like, right here and now, I have, like, 40 seconds. So I just kind of want to run through what I'm hearing, you know, what I'm seeing and hearing about, you know, Tommy Lloyd at Gonzaga, the talk mm-hmm. of guys like Damon Stoudemire and Miles mm-hmm. Simon, all former Cats. And then there's mm-hmm. been talk of others like Mark Pope at BYU. And obviously there's been names thrown around, even Josh Pastner. You've seen all these names they've thrown out there today. Yeah. So when we come back, I just need to break. So just think about that for a second. When we come back, I'll get your reaction to all the litany of names that have been thrown out as to who might replace him. And then I want to ask you about, frankly, what you think of what happened to his brother. I mean, I know you weren't in Bloomington covering the Hoosiers, but there has to be some kind of feeling like, you know, it's been a bad year for the family. We'll come back and talk to Bruce.
You're listening to the source of live odds, line, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use. But we just call it
the Winning Edge.
Keep it here.
There's plenty to go around.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, we're talking to Bruce Pascoe of the Arizona Daily Star about what happened to Sean Miller today. He was fired at Arizona after a long run with the Cats in Tucson. And frankly, like I said, by the way, Moraes just knocked out Demetrius Johnson. That's it. Round two, boom, knocked him out. Got on top of him and just clubbed him to death. He's done. So there you go, the champ wins. I'm stunned, Mafia. I can't even believe what I saw tonight. A horrible disqualification, and then the main event was a disaster as well. Thank God. Turn the channel. I'm done with it. Anyway, Bruce, sorry about that. So here's the deal. I'm watching these fights, so I got all this stuff going on while we're doing the show. As I said before to you, all these names, the litany of names, Tommy Lloyd at Gonzaga, Damon Stoudemire, Miles Simon, et cetera, et cetera. I don't believe, to be honest with you, Eric Musselman's going to get the job at Arizona. I think he's got a great job at Arkansas. I do not believe he's leaving that quick to go there. It's not Steve right. Alford leaving New Mexico. I don't believe, frankly, Mark Pope's getting that job either, to be honest with you. They remind me of a little bit of, I know Sean Miller didn't play at Arizona. Well, I guess he did. Like, what did he transfer there or something like that? when he was a kid. I can't remember. All I know is they remind me of North Carolina. They stay in the family.
Yeah, no, Miller didn't. He actually played here for Pitt against Arizona in a holiday tournament, you know, back in like the early 90s. And he told us the story about how he just thought it was so cool. He saw Arizona players leaving after the game on their skateboards, and it was 75 and sunny. And he was like, damn, this is a great place. So that's why I think that maybe had a little bit to do with why he took the job in the first place. But yeah, to speak to what you said, I actually just kind of wrote about some of the speculation, some of those candidates, and both Pope and Musselman, if you go back 2 years, if they had made a change with Miller in 2019, you know, the both of those guys were at mid-major jobs doing really well and were going to go. You knew they were going to go to their next job. And, you know, Musselman was at Nevada and Pope was at Utah Valley, and both those guys got good jobs. And you're right, they appear pretty locked up right now. Pope just signed a deal through 26-27, then because BYU is private, we don't know the terms, but you know, those guys are pretty locked in. And I don't think that Arizona has a lot more money, if any, to pay other than what they were paying Miller, which was about $2.5 million. So you know, and if you're going to, you know, if you're going to try and get an established, successful head coach, that's pretty tough to do. You might need three or four at least per year, the way things are going.
Yeah, well, so let's then narrow it down. Do you believe that, did you write about Tommy Lloyd and Stoudemire and Simon? I think Stoudemire and Simon would both take that job this minute.
Yeah. I mean, I think, right, Tommy Lloyd's a question mark as to whether he would want it. I mean, there's some questions about whether you'd hire a guy without being a head coach at a program like this. But on the other hand, you know, he's pretty well regarded, and he's been there for 20 years, and he's, you know, his recruiting of internationals is tough to beat and this and that. Right. So it's maybe a question of him whether he'd want to do that. He's already turned down a number of or turned away from, I should say, a number of, you know, pretty good jobs from what I've heard. And then you're right, Stoudemire and you know, Simon, I think, you know, even Josh Pastner, maybe there's, you know, some buzz about him. He's a Lute Olson guy who's, you know, been the head coach now at Memphis and Georgia Tech, and he has a great job there, you know, and not a lot of pressure, at least by the ACC standards, you know, so he might be okay there, but, you know, who knows, maybe he'd want to come back here. I don't know about that, but Stoudemire, you're right, would be interesting, and, you know, he's probably the one guy who has the best combination of, you know, sort of history with this program as a player. I mean, he was an All-American here. They went to the 94 Final Four with him. And then he went on and, you know, had the career he had in the NBA. He was NBA Rookie of the Year. And then at UOP, his record isn't great, but he took that program over when they were, you know, having NCAA sanctions. And they, you know, they have high academic standards. It's hard to get guys in there, and they have to play with Gonzaga in their league, you know. So you're, you know, and St. Mary's and BYU. So at the best, you're going to be fourth. And in fact, he was coach of the year last year when they were fourth. So if you kind of put in perspective of what he's been up against there, you know, he's done pretty well, and he's, you know, he's well liked here. He's a personable guy. He's, you know, he's got NBA experience to sell, and so, you know, He would seem to have a lot of qualifications as well.
Yeah, it sounds like everything you're saying, it just leads me right to him, that he's the guy. That's the guy they're going to hire. You can just feel it, can't you?
Well, it seems like, I mean, certainly if you're going to go the direction of wanting somebody who has some tie to your program, I would think so, for sure. I mean, I've heard a lot of Tommy Lloyd's the guy, but and it might be, but I don't know if he wants it. And you know, there's also, as we know, in these kind of searches, sometimes there's smoke screens out there. You don't really know who's who. And everybody here thought in football they were going to hire the San Jose State coach. And then they end up hiring, an assistant from the Patriots and Jed Fish. So, you know, and that sort of seemed to come out of nowhere. So, you know, I guess you never know. There could always be somebody lurking that we don't know. But the one thing that I do think is, you would think at this point, if they're going to decide to make this decision to get rid of Sean Miller this late, that they must have somebody lined up, or at least a couple of people that they know will take it. So I would imagine this will be a short search, because it may already be done behind the scenes.
Let me ask you, Bruce, do you think that Arizona State, and I'm not suggesting anything with Bobby Hurley going to Arizona. What I'm asking you is, do you think that he's like being well received in Tempe, or do you think his seed is hot?
Oh, Hurley's. You know, he's built that program up. I think he has a fair amount of equity. They had a really disappointing finish this year, but you know, I think it also helps him that it's sort of an asterisk year with COVID. Everybody knows that. So, you know, it was a weird combination. He had some really good talent, but it was kind of a weird chemistry mix that just kind of appeared to blow up on him. And they had a couple of COVID pauses that didn't help things either. So, you know, I don't think he's on a hot seat there, but certainly, maybe down the road a little bit if things don't turn around. But I think overall he's been pretty well received there.
What did you think of just your reaction to how badly Archie failed at Indiana? I mean, honestly, I went to Indiana, and I have to say, when they hired him, I thought it was a good hire because he had done such a hell of a job at Dayton, in my opinion, at a mid-major. And he had been a force there. But I honestly, I have to say, Bruce, I think he may have been the worst basketball coach I've ever seen at Indiana. And I'm 56 years old, and I worked for Bob Knight. So trust me when I tell you, I've seen them all. He may have been the worst coach I've ever seen in Bloomington.
Yeah. I mean, you're closer to way closer to that situation than I am. I know Archie was here actually as Sean's associate head coach the first couple of years, and I got to know him a little bit. Both of them, you know, are pretty well-schooled X and O's guys. You know, their dad was a legend out there in high school, Western Pennsylvania. The thing about Arch that always struck me, though, is he's super, super serious, almost like all work, no play kind of guy. And Sean Miller is very intense as well, but he will occasionally joke around with you and have some fun. He's not, you know, and I always thought that was the one thing about Arch I wondered about, you know, that's you know, it's hard because being a head coach at a major program, there's just so many things you have to do. You have to lower up and down and be all that. And I'm not saying he can't, because I didn't follow him that closely what he did there. Right. But I always thought, you know, that was gonna, you know, he would really have to adjust to the culture at Indiana. It's kind of what I thought. And obviously the expectations there are exceptional, and the fact that they bought him out for the amount of money they did and just had a booster allegedly write a check is something that wouldn't even ever happen here. Right. And the fact that you have boosters at Indiana who are willing to do that shows you, right, what the culture is like and the frenzy or whatever you want to call it is. And there's not even that here.
Well, I can't even fathom that some guy wrote a check. I know that's true, that's what happened. I couldn't even believe it when it came out, because I was like, some guy in Indiana, some alumni paid for this guy to go away? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this question. Yeah. Do you believe the rumor that Sean Miller is going to go to the NBA and become an assistant coach that everybody's now rolling with?
Well, yeah, I do, because I think that I think right now, until the NCAA is done with this case, it's going to follow him. I mean, he it didn't look like the allegations were recommended to show cause for him, but it is possible. And if you have a show cause, then you can't be coaching in college anyway. And I don't think any coaches are going to want to hire him just because it's still uncertain. If it comes out that the case is, you know, maybe some of the allegations are dropped and it didn't look like he did anything other than not really supervise these guys very well, he could definitely go back into college. But I think in the meanwhile, he might as well go in the NBA, which frankly could help his credibility with recruiting down the road somewhere. He can say, hey, I've been in the NBA. I know what it takes or whatever. And he's, you know, I mean, at least some of the NBA guys I've talked to over the years, they seem to have a pretty high level of respect for him. He's coached with USA Basketball, and that's not a position you get if you don't have NBA guys, you know, knowing about you as well. And he's also really good. I think he's really close with Stan Van Gundy and there's a couple other kind of connections he has. And so it wouldn't surprise me to see him show up on his staff or somewhere else, down the road for sure, especially for a year or two. And then maybe he jumps back into college. Because I think long-term, his personality is such that he's a college coach. And so I would think long-term he would want to get back to college if he could.
Yeah, but right now I think he's a hot potato. So I think it's going to take a while for the potato to cool off. because right now his name is Mud with the scandal that's been going on for years in Tucson. I think it's a great program. I think they need to clean it up, fix it, get the right guy in there, and get to winning again. That's all that matters because Arizona should always be good in basketball. That's all I know. Bruce, great stuff. Thanks for spending so much time with us tonight. Talking about Sean Miller being fired today. Appreciate you so much. We'll be in touch, my man.
Yeah. Okay, no problem. Appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, Bruce Pascoe of the Arizona Daily Star talking about Sean Miller getting fired at Arizona today on the bench. There you go, Mafia. I wanted to at least get your reaction real quick of how badly I thought Moraes, when he got him on the ground, he kneed him, and I think the knee finished him off. I think he was unconscious when he got kneed, and then he just finished him with a couple of hammer fists, and it was called.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And, you know, he caught him with a little kind of short uppercut when he kind of went to grab him when he got in tight. Caught him with a little right upper hook, and that dropped him. And then once he tried to get back up, he just dropped that left knee right into the forehead, just took him out. And that's, you know, a big thing. We're just talking about Alvarez and getting DQ'd for the punches to the back of the head that they claimed he did. That's something you could do in one, what they just happened with Moraes. You cannot do that in the UFC. Remember, we just saw that in Jan Sterling. We saw it the next week with another guy. Like, you cannot knee the down opponent. In one, you can. You know, so if that was the UFC, he's getting DQ'd. It's one, he stays a champion.
And meanwhile, Eddie Alvarez gets disqualified for a guy turning his head and he accidentally punches him in the back of the head a couple times and they disqualify him. I mean, to tell you, I was completely turned off by this one. Like, honestly, like, that was all I needed to see. I am going to bash them tomorrow on Coast to Coast like nobody's business. Count on that. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
All right. So, Mavi and I are talking about the Magic City Studios at the Perella Palatial, which I've been working on for, I guess, about a month and a half now. But there's a lot going on there, a lot of development. And we actually today, I don't know if you will, broke ground on the studio itself with the furnishings, Mafia. I was able to move all the furnishings in for the most part, like 80% of them. I got the glass desk in, my old glass desk, which is badass. And I brought in the Penguin sofa and gave it a complete rebuffing. I brought in the Penguin sofa and I shined it up and cleaned it up. It had been sitting in the basement stacked for 6 years. It hasn't been used in 6 years. And it's just a great sofa. And then tomorrow I'm putting in the Steeler recliner, which is that big badass Pittsburgh Steeler recliner I got. And then basically, and I got the new Penguin rug, which is all black. Badass. I mean, everything is so badass down there. It's not even funny. And then all that's left is the TV and the, you know, the system of, you know, the cable to be hooked up and the router, the modem. And then I bring all the equipment in from upstairs in the studio that I'm in now down to the Magic City Studios in the Perella Palatial. And we will, I think, be up and running next week. And it's very exciting. I'm bringing in strippers, twerkers, fast food people, drug dealers, gamblers, clowns. Yeah, I'm bringing in all those bad seeds to celebrate the grand opening of the Magic City Studios at the Perella Palatial. It's going to be fantastic. I also won't be watching one fighting anymore.